Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Time to move on. Bob Grove, you can read his stuff at 937thefan.com. He is our hockey columnist. Been covering the Penguins, well, Ron, since Moby Dick was a minnow, right?
I believe that is true.
Grover, how are you?
I'm good. You're making me feel quite old.
You're older than us.
Well, you are quite old. So.
I am quite old, so I'm really feeling that now, so thanks for that.
So much to talk about, Grover. Let's start with this, the losing streak. What do you point to here? Is it a concern? They're what, 6 points clear of the final playoff spot now, 4 points back of the Capitals. Where are the Penguins right now in your mind? Like, where are they headed?
Well, I still think they're headed in a good place. I mean, I expect them, quite frankly, to, you know, be in there for first place in the Metropolitan Division right to the very end. So they shouldn't be looking behind them, as you're right to note, you know, where they are toward the bottom of the pack. But they should be thinking only about one thing, and that's finishing in first place, because they've got a team that can do it. So right now they're just in a – they've lost four in a row, and they've scored a total of 6 goals. Their power play in those 4 games has produced 0 goals. Their penalty kill has allowed 4 or 5. I forget what the number is.
It is 4. 4 for 9. Yep.
4. You know, and here's the thing. Of the 6 goals they've scored, the Malkin line has figured in on 5 of them. So you're getting nothing from your special teams during this stretch. All of your production is coming from one line. So there's all kinds of room for improvement. So all over the map there on that. And, you know, if they play a lot of games like they played in L.A., they'll win. But, you know, here's the bottom line. You're almost in March. And finishing first, this is my take, is really important for the Penguins. Number one, they're a terrific home team, one of the best in the league. Number two, if Philly's going to be in there in this battle as well, and they're right behind, I mean, they're breathing down the necks of everybody else, especially the Penguins, even though the Penguins have games in hand. Do you want to think about playing the Flyers in the first round when you finish second in the division and then playing the Capitals after that? That's what you'd have to look at. Could you win both of those series? Yes. But as you know, you could lose either one of them too. These are big rivals. It would take a lot out of the Penguins. You know, I think they ought to be looking at finishing first. That should be the goal. And getting a wild card team, which, yes, could be the Flyers anyway, but that's not the point. The point is try to give yourself the best possible road through what is the best division in the league.
We haven't talked to you since Monday at the trade deadline. What did you think about what Rutherford did, the 2 moves?
I liked him. I liked all the players he acquired. He didn't give up much. You know, I like Cahoon, but, you know, a third-round pick as well. You know, Sherry's got – look, he's not a great defensive player, but the one thing he has over Cahoon is, well, a couple things, is the Penguins know him very well, and he knows them, so there's no learning curve on jumping into and playing the way Sullivan wants to play. I mean, this guy's already scored 20 goals for the Penguins in a regular season, so he knows exactly how they operate. The one advantage he has over Cahoon is he's got more speed. I mean, when I look at the whole thing that he did on the deadline, the 3 guys he brought in, it was really, for me, it was Rutherford just doubling down on the one thing the Penguins think differentiates them from everyone else in the division, and that's speed. And, you know, so Marlowe isn't going to win a race necessarily, but he's really still moved pretty well for his age especially, but he can still get around the rink without a problem. So his skating ability, you know, Rodriguez can skate, and Sherry just, I thought he was flying in L.A. I thought he was very, very noticeable. So that, to me, is the Penguins saying, yeah, we totally trust the way we play, the way we've constructed our team, and maybe you are more physical than we are, but we're catch us first.
How much is finishing a concern, Grover? Because I thought Sherry looked great. I thought Marlowe looked good. I often think Simone looks good. I love Tanev, but I wonder up and down these lines, you're going to need to bury pucks sooner or later. Somebody.
No, that's absolutely right. And people will remember, and I just mentioned that Sherry had a 20-goal season with the Penguins, but people will remember the last full season he played with the Penguins in the regular season, he went through a big dry spell where he wasn't able to finish. And then he goes to a poor team in Buffalo that, despite a couple of runs, one in each season where they just looked really great, they were not very good. And he got decent ice time, and he, you know, look at his total. He had 9 goals this year before the trade. So finishing is a concern. I mean, he's proven both that he can struggle with it and that he can do it. And as we know, he's also come up with some big playoff goals. So, yeah, if you go up and down the line, that's what I mean, the Malkin line. So where's the Crosby line in this? You know, where Zucker, okay, you know, he's getting used to, he should be used to sort of what he's expected to do now. And, you know, he almost had an assist in L.A. on what looked like for a minute like it was a goal by Sid. But they're going to need him. And we all know his playoff history, Zucker. He's not been on a great team. He's been an average team in Minnesota, not surrounded by a lot of creative guys. But he's never put up big playoff numbers. That expectation will be there for him. You mentioned Tanev. I think it's fair to expect he's going to maybe get – he's got some goals, but it's not right to expect him to score a ton.
Bob, it sounds to me like Marino could get back maybe tonight. I don't know that Dumoulin's going to come back tonight. Just one practice after missing 35. But to me, that's like making two big trades to add to their defense. What do you see him happening? I guess Dumoulin would go right back with Letang and maybe Marino with Pettersson, and you drop Johnson down to the third pair?
Yep, that's exactly what I expect to happen, and that's the way it should be. I mean, Jack Johnson right now is playing way too many minutes. And he's the minutes that he's playing with Letang between the two of them, they're not effective enough. And for me, you know, Pettersson and Schultz have been very so-so. I mean, Schultz, as we've talked before, they just need more from him, period. So they need those guys back desperately. And I just think that it looks to me like I agree with you. I think Dumoulin's probably when they get back from this trip. But, Marino, I think, could be at any time. And, you know, the one thing that people have to make the adjustment, having the injury he had, is playing with a full face shield, but you know, he used it all through college, so no learning curve there really for him. But they need those guys back. This team has had so many injuries to so many key players, and they've obviously managed that extremely well, but for me, the cracks are really showing on the defense right now without Dumoulin. They've done it for almost a half season. They need him back desperately.
Speaking of that, Grover, and we're talking to Bob Grove, who is brought to you by Ken Ganley Toyota of Pleasant Hills and by Redbeard Sports Bar and Grill, where great food and sports come together. Darren Drager was on the morning show today and mentioned that the Penguins were pretty heavily involved in going after Zach Bogosian. Do you think it would have been a good move to pick up a defenseman at the deadline of any kind?
It wasn't at the top of my list. I thought the Penguins needed to do what they did was increase their depth at forward so they could be using, when they get to the playoffs, a fourth line that can actually impact a game every once in a while, because that's absolutely needed, and they haven't gotten it. And I thought that was their top priority. Getting another defenseman, well, I mean, maybe. I think once they get these guys back, Marino and Dumoulin, I think their defense is fine. I think they're 8 or 9 deep, which is where you want to be going into the playoffs. I mean, the question you have to ask about Zach Bogosian is, look, I don't have a lot of room for guys who, you know, refuse to report to the minor leagues and that kind of stuff. I just don't. I mean, this guy's been hurt a lot, so there's a caveat there. He's been hurt lately in his career, but I think he's overpaid. I think he's a little bit overrated, and I'm surprised that not that there was interest. There's always going to be interest in a guy, especially if you can get him for nothing, which is what happened when Buffalo buys him out. But that tells you how far down he had sunk. So they were going to send him to assign him to the AHL. He refuses, and they just say, okay, good, we'll just buy you out then. We're so happy to get rid of you. So, you know, I don't know how he helps them going forward. I think he's average at best.
Bob, we might as well do our weekly question about the goaltending. Your thoughts on where they are right now with that? Are you still – now, I know they got back-to-backs this weekend, so I'm guessing we'll see Murray tonight and maybe Jari tomorrow night. Are you still in the every other game mode? And do you think we're getting close to picking one?
I think we are in the every other game mode, as you mentioned, so it's a no-brainer this weekend, right? So I agree with you, Murray tonight and Jari in San Jose. Are we any closer to him picking one? Probably getting there, but not quite there. You know, when you've lost four in a row, and these points are important right now. I mean, this four-game road trip, okay, so forget the first game. You go out on the West Coast, you're playing three bad teams. They're bad. They've got nothing to play for. I don't care if they're relaxed or not. They're bad. And you need to win at least two of the three, if not all three. And they've already lost one. So I think the Penguins need to feel like they've got to win both of these games coming up. And if he feels one goaltender gives him a better chance to do that, maybe he'll do it. So that's why I say I think he's getting close to the point where if he just gets a feel about one particular guy, this is an important time for them. And you know what the schedule's like in March. I think they had played 16 games, which is typical for March. But every March is crazy. And if he gets a guy who looks like they're starting to edge a little closer, maybe he starts to go with them. So I don't think we're that far off, or maybe we get away from the alternating every other game. And certainly we're going to be there the minute one of these two has a couple of games in a row where it doesn't work.
I mean, has the goaltending slipped a little bit in your mind?
I think it's in a pretty similar space. Like, it's hard to look sideways at Jari the other night, right? He gave up two. That should give a Pittsburgh team a chance to win every single night of the season. I don't think it's slipped noticeably. But I just want to, again, for me, and this just doesn't go for the goaltenders, but it goes for everybody. It's crunch time. You got to start thinking about how you're positioning yourself for the upcoming playoffs, because it's not going to be easy no matter what. When you get these opportunities, I don't care if they're at home on the road, to play these teams like this, it's got to be 2 points.
A couple more minutes here with Bob Grove. You can read his stuff at 93.7 The Fan. Grover, it's always interesting for me when the Penguins pick up a guy to sort of learn his game as we go along, you know, because you don't see a lot of people from game to game to game around right. The league. So, Jason Zucker, what have you learned about his game so far that maybe you didn't know, either positive or negative? What did they get here?
Well, I don't see anything that goes against, you know, what the few times I had noticed them in the past or what was said about them, you know, when they acquired them, just outstanding speed, ability to finish and all that. So, I mean, I think it's fit with that. I mean, he's done most of his production basically in one game, but I give him a little bit of not a pass, but Sidney Crosby for me is not hard to play with, but you just have to understand how he operates, and that may take a few games to get used to. And that's why I say, as I mentioned earlier, I think now we should be over that for Zucker. He should be in a space where he's starting to make plays with Sid. And I like the way he looked for him the other night in L.A., you know, in front of the net. So I just think when you put a guy like Zucker and take him out of a system that's kind of, I don't know if I should want to say stale, but just doesn't take any chances on the attack and with the puck, and you start surrounding him with creative players, whether he's on the second power play unit or you know, just playing with Crosby, it gives him a freedom to start thinking differently. And I don't think you can show what you can really do in that environment in just two or three games. I think it doesn't take 20 games, but it takes a little bit of time. And I'm anxious to see how March works out for him, because he's going to get into an every other day game situation, and he should be now understanding how this team works. And so I think it'll be an important month to see, you know, what exactly he can bring.
Bob, as you look in your rearview mirror, you mentioned the Flyers. Are they for real? How about the Rangers? 9-1 in the last 10, and all of a sudden they're tied with Carolina. Columbus is only 2 points ahead of them. I mean, any of those teams for real? I mean, any Flyers, Islanders, Blue Jackets, Hurricanes, probably two of them aren't going to make the playoffs. Would you say the Rangers still aren't for real or not?
Well, they've got the most difficult, you know, they've got the most difficult road for sure. I mean, there's no question about it. But I mean, my God, they've been unbelievable on the road. I mean, this is a franchise record. You know how long the Rangers have been around? Road winning streak for them. I mean, Panarin's been incredible from start to finish, but what a boost for them that Kreider gets re-signed. You know, And it really hurt them that Shesterkin got hurt in the car accident. I mean, that's a blow, and it's you know, it's a chance for Georgiev to show what he can do every single night, and because he's probably going to get moved at some point. The Rangers have it's going to be tough for them to make it, but it's not impossible. I think the Flyers are for real. I mean, Carter Hart to me is a really, really promising goaltender, and it's going to be, you know, in a few years he'll be one of the best in the league. And they've got some depth. For me, the Flyers miss. They're not getting much out of Giroux. They're getting nothing from Voracek, and they miss having a guy they can just go to in a tight game and say, you know, this is the guy who's going to always give us the big goal. But they've got a lot of balance, you know, in and out of their lineup. And Columbus, I'm incredibly impressed with what they've done in light of the injuries. I'm not sure they can make it. And Carolina, they've underachieved to a point all season. Everyone thought they were going to be better. And now both of their goalies are hurt. And they're coming back somewhat soon. But here's the thing. As I look at them, Mrazek and Reimer, they're not good enough. Neither one of them's good enough. So even when they get healthy, I think they made a mistake not going into the trade market and getting somebody. And I think Carolina's goaltending is going to come back to haunt them. I don't think they're going to make it.
All right, along those lines, Grover, I think we can all agree that the top four in the East, the best four teams, both by standing and by pedigree here, are the Bruins, Lightning, Capitals, and Penguins in any order.
Yeah.
After that, what would be the single best and worst matchup for the Penguins among all the other teams? It's a doozy, ain't it, Grover?
Well, I don't know. Worst, when you say worst?
Yeah.
Well, again, so I'll go back to who's your biggest rival that's outside of those teams, which is the Caps would be the biggest rival of those teams. Who's your biggest rival outside of those teams?
Flyers.
It's the Flyers.
Yeah.
So they would, not worst in the sense that, you know, that's a team you can't beat, just worst in the sense that, oh, look, we all remember what happened in 2012. It's the Flyers. You know, I mean, anything is possible. So the Penguins would probably think, you know, not a team that I really want to see. But could easily. I mean, they can beat the Flyers. There's no question they can beat them. But
all right, if you're picking your opponent then, like they're talking about in baseball coming up where you get to pick your opponent, who of those other bubble teams or teams below the top four would you think the Penguins would best match up against?
Well, Carolina or the Rangers. Carolina for the aforementioned reasons. If they were to get in, I think the Penguins would score plenty of goals against them because their goaltending's not enough. The Rangers, like I said, they're progressing faster through a rebuild, and they've got some really outstanding players. But top to bottom, especially on defense, I'm not sure they could handle the Penguins over the course of a 7-game series and really shut them down in any way. So I would say for me, those would be two of the teams that you'd be looking for. And if Columbus sneaks in, maybe, because, you know, Seth Jones is hurt. I don't know when he's coming back. It's a long-term injury. I don't know if he'd be back for the first round, and he's a huge miss for Columbus for sure. So, but it's this thing about playing Columbus is it's going to be a very physical series, very physical. And the Penguins could beat them, but it might take a lot out of them. So that's why you wouldn't have that element for me with Carolina or the Rangers, so that'd be my pick there.
Less than a minute, Grover. I'm going to ask Ron and people about this coming up. Wayne Gretzky quoted yesterday about fighting in hockey. He said, "You've cleaned it out of minor hockey, junior, college. It's really not part of our game anymore," he said. So do you miss it, Grover? Do you miss fighting in the sport? And do you still enjoy it when one breaks out?
I never enjoyed it, and I don't miss it. I just don't. I mean, we all saw what happened in the Hershey game recently, and it's disturbing. I just tolerate it is all I can tell you. I got to defer to the players who, as a whole, even today, believe they have to have that outlet, that sometimes the league just can't police everything, and there's only one way to police some behavior on the ice, and it's through fear, and it's through guys dropping the gloves. And a lot of the players still believe that, even though fighting has largely disappeared. But I never liked it and wouldn't have any problem if I never see another fight in a game.
Grover, great stuff. Thanks again, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you, guys.
See
you. You too.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.